One of the truly wonderful aspects of the TV series called The Chosen, it's a multi-season series on the life of Jesus and his disciples. But one of the wonderful things about the series is it's very biblical, but it tries to look at the different characters in the life and ministry of Jesus and develop some of their backstory, to look at what kinds of things, what kinds of reactions would have been happening in between the stories that we read in the Gospels. And one of the aspects of that that is really brought to life is the humanity of all of the people involved, the humanity of the disciples as they fight and bicker and try to make sense of things. It brings all of that to such wonderful relief. They're no longer plaster cast kind of characters. They're very real, very human, very much like us. They're the same fights, the same struggles, the same sense of making sense of all of these things. And one of my favorite scenes so far is the scene in the seventh episode of the first season when Matthew, the tax collector, is called. Now, we've already seen Matthew's. We've begun to get a bit of his story and to see, you know, what a strange and interesting character that he is and how despised he is by the other disciples, because he's the one that's, you know, trying to get the taxes from Simon and Andrew and James and John. And so they're not great fans of Matthew and his collaboration with the Romans. We also hear the story that, you know, his family has also rejected him. Everybody, it seems, within the Jewish community rejects him. Like he says, you know, I don't get invited to the feast. I don't get invited to celebrate, you know, any of the Jewish festivals with any of the other Jewish believers because I'm an outsider, not one of the chosen ones. And yet he's seen Jesus, he's seen the miracles, he's seen, you know, some of the teaching, he's heard some of these signs. And so one day when he's there in his booth, guarded by his centurion, that Jesus just happens to pass by. And the scene, watch it on YouTube, it's just magnificent as Jesus looks at him and says, you know, Matthew, son of Alphaeus. And Matthew is, you know, is intrigued by this. Who, me? Yes, you, follow me. And it's such a moving example of this. It's a story for all of us. You know, none of us were worthy on the day that we were called. None of us had done anything extraordinary in the day that Jesus first invited us into that same experience of relationship with him. The gospel makes it so clear today. First, that the only way that Jesus knows how to love is the way that the Father has loved him. He knows how to love. He knows how to live in that love because he's been schooled in that, of course, by his earthly example with Mary and Joseph, but especially in prayer through the example of his own Father. And he's responded to that. He heals people. He's compassionate on people because that's the way that he's learned to love them. He's caught up in that experience of love, and he invites us into that same experience of love as well. This gospel is also very deeply significant for me, in part because I, you know, so closely recognize the person of Matthew in my own life. You know, that sense that he'd done nothing. He was, you know, very gifted intellectually. He was very caught up in, very gifted with mathematics and being able to count and to do calculations and all those kinds of things. But that powerful sense of Matthew as the one who responds, who just gives of himself. Matthew is my confirmation name. And when I chose that name, I didn't do a whole lot of thought. I was always, you know, a little bit annoyed later on that I didn't do a lot of praying and didn't do a lot of work, didn't do a lot of preparation. I mean, to be honest, the only reason I chose Matthew is that my two older brothers, one had chosen Luke and one had chosen Mark. And so Matthew seemed to be the next logical choice to make. And I used to, you know, tell Sacramento children, you know, please do a little bit more work than I had done. And yet a few years ago when I was on retreat in preparation for my 30-day retreat, and so you spend a period of retreat kind of building up the retreat stamina to be able to last the 30 days. And as part of that, I was reflecting upon the name that God had given to me, you know, that every single one of us we read in the book of Revelation is given a special name by God. And, you know, being the Bible geek that I am, I was trying to come up with these really obscure kind of Hebrew titles and things to just make sense of what name have you given me, God? And I just felt Jesus say to me, "Oh, you silly Billy, it's Matthew. Matthew is the name that I've given to you, that I wanted for you." This sense of this gospel, especially, you did not choose me. No, I chose you. You know, that God has chosen every single one of us. That's why I'm a priest, because I was the age of 20. I'd already known the Lord for a few years. I'd been trying to serve him, to pray each day, to read the scriptures, to be caught up in that, going to church much more regularly and living a sacramental life. I'd been involved in university ministry. I'd been involved on campus. But on that particular day, I was back in Bega, and the parish priest at the time, Father Jerry, was sharing his own story, his own conversion story, his own story of his ordination. It was the anniversary of his ordination the next day. So he was telling us what he was feeling like on that day, the night before his ordination. And he said he felt so unworthy, so unprepared, so unable to be a priest. And he said there was only one thing that had kept him going and allowed him to present himself before the bishop the next day to be ordained. And he said that was from John 15:16. "You did not choose me. No, I chose you, and I have appointed you to go out and to bear fruit, fruit that will last." And as he said that, connected, experienced this physical movement within my body in the depths of who I was, knowing that was true of my life. It was not that I was special. It was not that I'd done anything, not that I was worthy of anything, but God called me and God chose me, and God will do the same for anyone that wants to. We don't have to do anything special. We don't have to shape ourselves and form ourselves and to be worthy of God's love. This is all grace. That's why the TV series is called The Chosen. It's not the ones that were worthy, they that had done anything extraordinary, but one by one, Jesus, through that personal relationship, chooses and calls and invites us into that same encounter and that same experience of love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. That's what we're invited to do, just to rest in that love, to remain and to abide in that love of God. That's the commandment that Jesus gives us, to be caught up in that, to allow God's love to call us and invite us. He will choose us. He will commission us. He will invite us to be his followers, to be his disciples. All we need to do is to respond. God will do it. God will do that work. God will do that sanctification as well, as we hear in the first reading, with that gift of the Holy Spirit being released upon the disciples, even the foreigners, even the outsiders. God will do that work. Let's indeed open ourselves today to the love that the Father has lavished upon us. Let's receive that love, and let's say our yes to God as he calls us today.